This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 228.
Correct.
What did you watch this week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
So I had said at the beginning of the week that last episode I didn't know how much I'd get done watching because I was going to be at training all week.
And then you pulled a dick move and kept adding more shows on.
And then
by the way, I watched this too. Okay, I'll add that. Oh, and I watched this. All right.
Well, I found I made the time.
You did.
I made the time. Yeah. And I watched another new show this morning. We're recording on Monday the 7th.
I'm glad you didn't tell me that. I probably would have lost my mind.
I only added two shows.
And?
Well, you make it sound like I kept adding like a laundry list of shows.
They were each an hour long.
You didn't have to watch either one.
Correct.
Yeah, well, you made me watch a 2-hour and 14-minute fucking movie of Life I'll Never Get Back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, he said it's bizarre, but he said I should watch it. I should keep watching it. And you know what that did? Damaged the trust. Damage the trust that we have between each other. Because you didn't say, it's a shitty movie, but watch it anyways.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. We'll repair the trust. Don't worry.
We'll repair the trust.
I will tell you right now, I do not have a lot in the way of like trailers or news this week.
I don't either.
There wasn't a lot going on, I guess.
I have a tiny bit.
Yeah.
I have one trailer and one news.
I have two trailers and two news.
Yeah.
I've got double what you have.
Oh.
1+1+2+1. Every time I play D&D with my group.
1+1+2+1.
Yes.
No, it's 1+1+2+1+2.
Every time we're trying to like add up damage or something, and they're like, all right, so that's 8 for this and 3 for this. And I'm like, 1+1+2+1. Shut up. Yeah. Clue. Great movie.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it is.
So, where would you like to begin this week?
You know, okay, I messaged you this early in the week, and I guess I'll just say now, I was not impressed with Hannibal or Dark.
I get what you're saying with Hannibal. Hannibal actually, like, really, it didn't upset me, but I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
It was a tremendous, honestly, like, if this is how the series started, I would have been like, what the fuck's the hype?
Mm-hmm.
What is the hype for this?
Because the whole first episode coming into season 3 after that giant cliffhanger.
Oh, multiple people getting killed and stabbed and cut up and Hannibal flying off and Jim and Anderson.
None of it.
No.
Well, basically what we get is what's going on here?
Yeah, it's Hannibal is in either Paris or Italy.
Italy,
with Gillian Anderson's character.
Yep.
Who we found out she killed Zachary Quinto.
We knew that from a while back, though.
Right. She killed, but we found out what she did. She, like, ripped his tongue out.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was persuaded by Lecter. So we're seeing that flashback.
Yeah.
But we went from seeing a doctor who was strong, confident, at least on appearance-wise, to now she's a frazzled mess.
Yeah.
Who pulls a gun on Lecter more than a couple of times.
And she's basically, like, scared all the time.
And they're married.
They're pretending to be married.
You know? And I didn't like either episode.
No. We keep having flashbacks of Eddie Izzard being fed his own body because they have to get the cooking in there somehow.
It was cool to see him again.
Yep. But it was all in black and white.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they're in Florence, Italy. And we don't know what's going on. Like, somebody gets killed in the beginning, but did Hannibal kill him? And was it just to take his place, you know, to assume his identity? And, like, I didn't care. I was like, continue the story. Like, show me what happened to Jack.
Yeah.
Show me what happened to Bloom. Show me what happened to Will and what's her name there? I want to say Abby.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Abigail.
Yeah.
Is the girl that he slit her throat at the end.
So we don't get that until two.
We don't know what happened to Elena.
Yeah.
Who got pushed out the window.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened to her. We still don't know what happened to her after episode two.
Nope. No, because basically in episode two, we finally get to find out what happened to Will. And, oh, surprise, surprise, Abigail's still alive because, you know, she says, the doctor said that it was surgical. He knew exactly how to cut me so that I wouldn't die.
Cut both of us so we wouldn't die.
Yeah.
But by the end of the episode, we found out she's dead.
Yeah.
He's having a vision of her.
Right.
He's being haunted by her.
Yeah.
But we don't know what happened to Jack. We assume he died.
Yep.
That's another, like, we don't know what happened with him.
But then Will just takes off to Florence?
Yeah, he's just there because he's tracking down Lecter and runs into a police officer who's like, I know who you are, and I know who Lecter is, and I know why you're here.
And he's got a picture of young Lecter, and he's like, oh, yeah, I remember back in the day. Yeah. And he killed some people, and I want to get him.
I didn't like this.
The monster of Florence.
Yeah.
Arranged him in artistic poses.
Which is what he does. He does like an origami heart with this guy's body that he killed at the end of the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not very impressive overall. Yeah. I didn't enjoy it very much. I didn't dislike Dark. I feel like we've got six episodes left. This was two of those six episodes.
And I think that's what's... Well, there was eight episodes in the season,
mm-hmm.
and I think the first two episodes of this season... Wait, no, this was episodes three and four, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I just...
This brought us to the halfway point of the final season.
Yeah, and I didn't think either one were very good.
They were filler episodes.
Yeah, that's sort of...
But we got some good reveals. I mean, especially at the end of the fourth episode, we got a huge reveal.
I just thought they were very slow and plodding, and
yes.
It's like, we got to have eight episodes, so what are we going to do? Oh, let's put two back-to-back bummers.
Yeah. Ooh, excuse me. Pardon me. Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I was a few minutes late today was because I saved the last episode until the end of the night. Because I was like, all right, I want to have this fresh in my head. I failed to notice that, you know, where every other episode of Dark is like 51 minutes, this one was like 72 minutes.
Which episode was?
The most recent one.
Episode four?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice. I just watched it.
Yeah, I hit pause at one point, and it was like, you've gone 51 minutes in. There's still 13 minutes. I'm like, motherfucker. Sorry, 64 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had extra time. I'm like, fuck, all right.
Go ahead, give us Dark.
Yeah, so basically we've got the old guy, old man Tannhaus. We get to see him as a little kid, and apparently he was blind even back then. You know, usually when you see an old man who's blind, you think that it's, oh, he grew old and got blind. No, he was blind as a kid, and his dad's reading him from this journal. He has this little pocket watch that says, for Charlotte.
Yep.
Which is interesting. You know?
It is, yeah.
I mean, granted, Charlotte's not a rare name, but given this world and everything that we know about people, And... You know, then we get a little flash, and it's now him as old man Tannhaus, and the carriage that he's being ridden around in is hijacked by, I'm just going to start calling them the Three. That's how I refer to them in my notes.
Well, they're the unknown, but yes, the Three.
Yeah, the Three, because it's young man, middle-aged man, old man. They're all the same person, and they all seem to go everywhere together, although the middle-aged one seems to be the only one who does the talking or the exposition. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's the only one that seems to do anything at all.
Yeah, and he basically tells old man Tannhaus, he's like, you're going into town to put out a telegram to tell the world about us. And he's like, oh, you're travelers? Time travel's possible? And he's like, yeah, you want to tell the world about us? That's not going to happen. And then they basically kill him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of killing done by these three.
And they use a Garrett, which is just so old-timey fashion-y.
Old-timey and personal. Hard to garrote somebody when, you know, unless you're right up there in their business.
Mm-hmm.
We get old Martha talking to Jonas, although much like apparently old Jonas is Adam, old Martha considers herself Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that will come into play in the end of episode four. So, yeah. They're basically, she's talking to Jonas and telling him stuff like, you know, you have to keep going. You can stop this. The end is coming, blah, blah, blah. Nothing we haven't heard a million times before already. So then we've got like Otherworld. I struggled whether to call it the Otherworld, the Dark World, the Foggy World, but it's basically the Otherworld. So we've got the Otherworld. Charlotte and Ulrich are briefing the police about Mads being found, you know?
Yeah.
And they're laying it all out there. They're like, these five kids, they name all the, these five children were in the bunker. They discovered a body. He had 1980s clothes. He had a Walkman. And he had an ID on him. So this is my brother.
Yep.
And we got to figure out what happened. God. Again, I do this on an iPad, so it autocorrects way too often. I'm like, who's Barton? Oh, it's Bartosz. Yeah. We flash back to 1888. We got Bartosz yelling at Jonas. You know, basically he's like, she told us that you're Adam. You're the one that fucked us all over. You're the one that killed everybody. You're the one that started the apocalypse. You know, start coming clean with us. Because this is what got, like, this show has already got some confusing elements to it, but it really gets confusing now because we've got the same actress playing Martha, but two different versions of Martha.
Right.
We've got the, she's essentially the same age, but we've got the young Martha, air quotes, who
just hasn't met Jonas. Who hasn't traveled yet.
Right. She's just met Jonas. She's fresh to this world. And then you've got the
old 9 months later, Martha.
Yep. Who has seen the world. She's a traveler. She's the one that brought Jonas here to this world.
Right. A lot happened during 9 months or, you know, 8 months.
Yeah. So, yeah, Bartosz hates him. He hates Jonas. He says, you know, you fucked this up and blah, blah, blah. And we get back to old Martha. She says her and Jonas are bound to each other for eternity, which, again, that's going to come up in episode 4. She says, you know, you're tired of doing everything everybody says. Then do something about it. You can stop this. You could take the young me and take her to where she can see what's going on. And, you know, you have to guide her. She is bound to you. This was interesting, though. The middle-aged Jonas, you know, the shaggy one, mm-hmm. who's in 1888, he tells that Martha, he's like, why don't I remember ever being to your world? Why don't I remember you?
Right.
Which I found interesting because she just kind of glossed it over. She's like, you were there. He's like, but I don't remember it. I should remember that, but I don't remember that ever happening. So that's an interesting kind of twist.
Also, well, I guess I'm jumping ahead, but after what we learned at the end of episode 4, it's like, okay, I don't think Adam is Bartosz anymore. No. I think Adam is Jonas.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Apparently, the whole reason that they're doing this time travel thing is because old man Tannhaus lost his wife and wanted to go back in time and
right.
save her. And they basically drop that bit of exposition and then move right on. Like, it has absolutely nothing else to do with it. You'd think that that would be, like, the whole central plot of the Sic Mundus, but nope, they just drop that nugget and then walk away. But old Martha basically, or, no, sorry, 9 month dark Martha, this is where it gets confusing, she pops out her little sphere and she has one little orb in there, one little Tide Pod.
Yeah.
And says, you know, this is what gets me back. This is the only one that I have. And she gives it to middle-aged Jonas so that he can do his experiments. It's basically a piece of the dark matter, the God particle, whatever. And she gives it to him so that he can do his experiments. And then while he's doing his experiments, she runs out, pops open a canister that has lots more pieces of it, and poofs herself away.
Mm-hmm.
Ha-ha. Let's see. Now we've got the three. They show up to old Martha in her room and they hand her over the stopwatch and the notebook from Tannhaus. That was interesting. So it's like they're working for her. They asked her about why she didn't tell Jonas what his real place was. And she said, you know, no matter what, he has to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, we must preserve the knot of his Martha dying so that others can live. She basically says that this has to continue as it's been going. His Martha has to die so that everybody else can live. You know, more prophecy. Charlotte, Dark Charlotte, goes to the bunker. She finds a coin on a pendant, which she recognizes as Helgi's. You know, he's always had that as an old man. At this point, he gets up and walks away. We get young Martha going to see Killian. They have a bit of a fight, whether or not she loves him, whether he slipped or something to kind of mess with her head that night in the woods. This version of Hannah goes to Alexander, apologizes for Regina, so you have to assume Regina's dead in this world, instead of just cancerous.
Right.
But basically, she shows him the bag that he buried his stuff in the woods,
mm-hmm.
and says, I've got the rest of this stuff. I will give it to you if you destroy Charlotte. She's like, I don't want her yeah. dead. I want her world destroyed. I want everything destroyed.
Right.
And Alexander's like,
Which is what she did before when she wanted, you know what I mean? Like, it's same Hannah, different world.
Yep. Let's see. Charlotte visits Peter at the church. He may have been molesting that teenage boy that's like, thanks, you really helped me. But basically she's like, why do I find Helgi's coin on a string in the bunker? Boom.
Yeah.
So at this point, she gets called back to the police station because Helgi's down there and he's confessing to killing Mads. He's saying, I killed him. And they're like, whoa. And then, of course, Ulrich comes in, and Ulrich's a piece of shit alpha male and just starts attacking this old man and shaking him and going, oh. And then Helgi starts pointing at Ulrich and saying, it was him. It was him. It was him. And then he has his coin on a pendant.
Yeah.
But she has one as well. But, of course, we saw that in the other world that the coin on the pendant
was given to every kid.
Yeah, given to everybody who's experimented on. Let's see. Jonas is talking to Dark Martha in the forest, saying he's always known her. This is when Martha took off from 1888. The montage of people doing things. They like to do that.
Yes.
Each episode, they do like a musical montage of people doing different stuff. And that usually, to us, signifies the end of an episode.
Yeah. But this one kept going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 10 minutes beyond it. And they did the same thing in the next episode, too. So now it's 23rd of September, 2053. 1888, Martha walks into the burned out power plant. Old Adam asks him if she gave it to him. He says, I was always too gullible. You did the right thing.
Yep.
And then we have young Martha and young Jonas. They come out of the cave into bright sun, barren wastes. A desert traveler comes to them. She has a scar down her face and says, welcome to the future. We end episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
We go, huh.
Well, that was an episode.
That was a cliffhanger and kind of mirrored when Jonas went into the future.
Right.
So that was Adam and Eve.
Eva.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've got the origin.
Right.
Basically, you've got young Tronti walking by the tunnel, and the three show up and harass him and basically give him a serpent eating its tail bracelet. And they say, this was your mom's. I knew her a long time ago. Here you go. And walk away. Now, Hannah from our world and young Egon are now having some aggressive sex, which we find out later on, surprise, surprise, leads to pregnancy.
Yeah.
Because that's how things work in TV shows. Everybody gets pregnant just from the first time they have sex. That turns into this whole thing. So he gives her the St. Christopher pendant, the one that's become famous for going to Jonas, and then he gives it to Martha. You know, this one pendant keeps getting passed around. So Egon gave it to Hannah back in 1953.
Right.
But we know that it eventually makes its way to Jonas because everything is supposed to happen this way. So, yeah, I'm just going to stick with that storyline for a minute here. Hannah gets pregnant, and the doctor tells her that. He's like, you know, yeah, you're pregnant. She's like, no, that's not possible. He goes, well, at your age, it could be complicated. So, you know, try to stay off your feet and blah, blah, blah. So she tells Egon, and he's like, here's a name. Here's a number. I know this from so-and-so, but she does it right. And here's some money. He lays out some money and an address and sends her to get in a bobo.
Right, yeah.
And she ends up going there and meets a young girl who, hold on, what was her name? Helene Albers. She couldn't have been, what, like 16?
Yeah, it seemed it. Seemed very, 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 very young.
Yeah, and the girl's just like, you know, oh, yeah, she tries to be friends with her, and she's really nice. She's like, oh, I love your St. Christopher pendant. You know, he's good for us, you know, on this journey that we're going on. And then the abortionist woman comes out, and she's just like, yo, get in here. And Hannah somehow has a change of heart, takes the St. Christopher pendant, leaves it there for Helene, and then leaves the clinic. So she's going to keep the kid. Who's this kid going to turn out to be?
And what last name is she going to have?
Right.
And have we met this person already?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So we've got that. We've got now it's the 24th of September, 1954. We've got this is where it starts getting boring. The 1954 storylines are always the most boring for me. You've got Innes and young Claudia. They're looking at a girly mag. Yana wants them to get going. Yana wants to be with Tronte, but she's not. And we find out that this is why Tronte was having an affair with Claudia. It's not that as an adult he strayed because, you know, oh, Claudia is kind of sexy or something like that. This started way back here.
He loved her way back in the day.
Yeah. And he was being abused. He showed some scars on his arm. Basically, it looks like he had cigarettes put out on his arm by his dad. And he basically says, my dad's a piece of shit and I wish he'd leave. You know, I don't know my mom, but whatever. You know, I got this bracelet that's supposedly hers. And Yana's like, oh, it's very pretty. And he goes, here, you can have it. So he gives her the bracelet. Does this mean that Yana is his mother? Down the road because of time travel shit? Who knows? But
fuck, I didn't even think of that. But yeah, who knows with this show?
So basically, Claudia, like, she's his
girlfriend. Hold on, just real quick.
Yeah.
What would happen if to stop these apocalypses from happening, they have to stop time travel?
Mm-hmm.
If time travel is stopped, how many people would not be alive?
A lot.
In this show.
A lot of people.
If you think about it that way.
Yeah.
Like, if in order to stop these apocalypse events, they have to stop time travel.
Yep.
So no one has ever time traveled all the way back from the beginning. How many people would not be alive because of time travel?
Well, at the very minimum, Jonas wouldn't be alive.
Well, Charlotte and Elizabeth somehow wouldn't be alive.
Right.
You know.
Because they've got the causal loop of
chicken and egg. And if Elizabeth's not alive, then how is her sister, Francesca, alive? Because Charlotte's not around to give birth to her.
Right.
You know, obviously, you know, if Mads doesn't go back in time, then he can't have Jonas.
Right.
Jonas.
Not Mads. Mikkel.
Mikkel, yeah. Mikkel can't go back in time. He's not going to have Jonas. Jonas and Martha aren't going to get together. We find out at the end of this episode.
Right.
They're not going to have, you know, like,
Hannah,
whoever Hannah's pregnant with.
Yep. I was trying to think. It's Tiedelman, or her name is Conwald.
Yeah.
But that was her married name, and she's going by Katarina now in the past.
Yeah.
So was she going by Katarina Tiedelman? No.
No. I don't know. Maybe she's going to be Katarina Nielsen?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Is she going to give birth to Ulrich?
Fuck. Maybe.
I mean, would it be the weirdest thing?
Anyway, sorry. I just thought, I'm thinking,
Yeah, no, it's...
If there's no time travel, then who the fuck would even be alive in these worlds?
Yeah. Yeah. So, we've got... Like I said, you know, it turns out that Yana really wants to be with...
Tronte's banging Claudia.
Yeah. Well, we assume because she just basically comes into his room and disrobes in front of him.
Okay. Yeah.
But we know that Claudia eventually gets together with Alexander.
Right.
And as a result of that, they have Regina. But we also know that that is not Alexander's daughter. It's Tronte's. So,
right.
So this was going on for a while. Anyway, back to the other stories. Old Man Adam tells Agnes that she chose the right side, tells her to give Claudia the newspaper article about her death. This is where Agnes got that newspaper article, and she's going to go back. You know, at the end of the episode, she's got the suit on. She's going to go back in time.
With the God Particle, yeah.
To 1954 and give old Claudia the article.
Yeah, Adam's moved base of operations to 2053.
Yep. Yep, in the burned out power plant. Doris is kind of going nuts back in 1954. She shows Egon the hanky that she found in Agnes's laundry. Because remember, Agnes and Noah both disappeared.
Right.
But she's saying that there's some, there was a priest that disappeared, but his, what was his name? It was like HT. Oh.
Yeah.
Hanno Tauber.
Yeah.
And she found this handkerchief that has the initials HT, so it's got to be him. And he's basically like, whatever. Well, later on, the three they're in the church when Doris goes there, Egon's wife. And she's like, are you the new priest? And he's like, I used to be, but now I'm not.
Right.
So you used to be the new priest, but now you're not? It's dark. Time travel.
Yeah.
But they basically, you think they're going to kill her, but they don't. Instead, they're just like, hey, have you wondered why your husband has been spending long nights at the office and leaving suddenly and having no excuses? He could be fucking another woman. Maybe you should look into that. Bye.
Right.
And then she leaves and basically tells, she doesn't even ask him about it. She's just like, I want a divorce. We should have done this a while ago. Because, of course, she had that whole thing for Agnes.
Right.
She's in love with Agnes. This was just kind of the excuse that she needed. And then, of course, you know, Egon starts drinking and tells Claudia that, you know, her mom ran away. And this was the beginning of Claudia's abandonment issues. So we've got, in the dark future, we've got Martha talking to old Magnus, who basically says, you abandoned us in 1888. Little did we realize that 33 years later, we'd be the ones giving you the order to go back and abandon us in 1888. Because, again,
right.
Time travel.
Right.
And, again, it's hard with Martha because we've got the two different versions of her.
Right.
Played by the same actress and looking very similar. So you've got Yellowcoat Martha, which is the young one.
Yeah.
And she's in... It's the 9th of November, 2052, but like all the numbers and letters were like reversed or upside down, and it was kind of fucked up. You see chalk writing on the wall, which is the outline of what you see on the floor in Eve's future office, you know, where she's got it all engraved in marble. This is all the same thing, like different people who came together. Some of their names are crossed off, and this woman that's there with them in the future basically says, yeah, those people that are crossed off are going to die, but you two have the power to go back and stop it. You can stop the whole thing. Which, how many times is Jonas going to be told, oh, you can stop it, you just have to go do this, and then find out.
Do this, you have to go do that, yeah.
We were just sending you on a path to do exactly what we wanted. Every time. Yeah. And he always falls for it. Because he's an idiot. Let's see.
So, I like this note.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to how many people would not be alive if they stopped time travel. And it's when Noah, looking at the family tree with adult Martha,
mm-hmm.
right? He comments that it's like an infinite circle.
Yeah.
That originates with Jonas and Martha.
Yeah. He said, what did he say? Oh, yeah. He says, the end is the beginning and the beginning is the end. They're all born of him. She gave him his life, meaning Martha gives him his life.
Right.
Now they will all get their lives from him. And he starts naming off all the people, you know, Katarina, Ulrich, Claudia. Like, he's going through all these people and he's saying that they're all going to be born of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, yeah, the woman in the future tells Jonas and Martha's, that the barrels in the nuclear plant are what caused the apocalypse.
Yeah.
That they have to go back and stop them from being opened. And that only one world can be saved.
Yep.
They can't save both worlds. They have to pick which world they're going to save. So then, of course, they go back to the Dark World's Martha's house. And she's like, you know, what was I like in the other world? And from the moment I saw you, I thought that I knew you before. And so they get together and they have the sex.
They make the sex, too.
Yeah.
Lots of sex in this show.
Yeah.
Not complaining, just...
Yeah. So they have lots of sex.
You know what that means, then? Just from watching them have sex. Martha's pregnant.
Yeah.
Which they do reveal at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Basically, we go back to the future, and then we've got the girl with the scar over her eye that welcomed Jonas to the future, and she's now there with Adam and Martha and Agnes going back in time. And basically, Martha's like, I held up my end of the deal. Adam, you got to hold up your end of the deal. And he's like, yeah, it took me 66 years to figure out how things are all tied together. So, yeah, it's time that you find out, too. So he takes her to the burned out husk of her house and says, this is where it all began. Basically, we just sent you back, the two of you, to have sex so that you could create the seed of tying the worlds together. The knot that ties the two worlds together is in your belly.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, right after that, after he puts his hand on her belly, we switch over to Eve's palace there, and we see the middle-aged three. And we're like, oh, so yeah. The three is the child of Martha and...
Yes, Jonas and Martha's kid.
Yeah. Which I guess explains why there's three different versions of him that are always together, and they can go in any time, in any place, and... They've got some other way that they can travel. Maybe because they're born of two travelers in two different worlds.
True. Yeah, they can just go wherever they want.
Yeah. It's
it was a lot.
It was a good reveal. But again, we've got four episodes left before this is done. Oh, and there was also a little thing in there where back in the 1950s, Helgi's dad was screaming and hollering about his nuclear plant, and the three ambushed the guy that he was talking to in a car and basically gave him a working permit for the nuclear plant. They're like, yeah, the coal industry is not going to get in the way of this. That nuclear plant will be built no matter what, or we'll kill you.
Right, yeah.
So they're working for that because everybody is trying to set everything up so that everything happens exactly the way that it's supposed to be to create the world. That's already been created. It's crazy.
Biohackers.
Biohackers.
So I think I'm done.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah. I didn't really enjoy this one. It was, they do too much of that, like, they try to be too tense, you know, and too on edge. Oh my God, is she going to get the files? Oh my God, she printed out all those pages. And is the woman going to discover that the pages are there? Oh, whew, thank God that guy grabbed them. Oh wait, there was some phosphorescent paint on the network cable. And the woman now knows. Like,
yeah,
it's the same thing as last week.
Well, and it's not only that, but like Mia / Emma, whatever you want to call her. Mia the adult, Emma the child. But anyway, she... the only place that you can find the filing... Like, first she bullshits her way into an office she shouldn't be in.
Very easily.
Yeah, that's the thing. Very Mary Sue easily.
She's like, oh, I'll just call the director. Yeah. And the woman's like, oh, no, don't do that. She doesn't like to be disturbed. I'll let you into this highly secure area.
Right. And, I mean, because she has a pass. She's not for that area.
Mm-hmm.
Looks for her brother's records, but they're offline. They're not there. They're only at Lorenza's house.
Which is stupid.
Right.
In data management.
Right, exactly.
It's stupid.
And all that means it's at Lorenza's house only. Oh, okay. So now she very easily and quickly... formulates a plan with the boyfriend or the guy that she likes who is like, and it's never been discussed before, but all of a sudden she's like, oh, so you still going to be at Lorenza's house tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I am. Oh.
Well, after here, we get done with this party?
Let me flatter my way to go with you and talk you into it and be like, oh, it's not, and you'd be like, no, you can't be there. And me just be like, oh, it's no big deal. And we go, I might get my dick wet. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, where's the bathroom? Oh, it's right there. I'll go get us some drinks. Oh, okay. I'm going to flush the toilet and just walk around aimlessly now. And then when he goes, hey, you can't be in here. Just be like, oh, I was just walking. And be like, oh, okay. And then, oh, I happen to find my... No, it's just... I got pissed off with it. I really did.
That was terrible. Like, all of it was completely unbelievable. And then he has Huntington's and they're doing gene therapy on him. So she has to call this one person. They're like, don't take him to the hospital.
Yeah.
Take him down to the basement. We're going to fix him up here. You're going to have to synthesize the antidote and you're going to have to get your buddy who works on genetics, you know, your roommate, have her come over and blah, 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 blah. And you know what the most egregious thing to me was?
What?
Out of all that, because there was a lot of egregious bullshit.
Yes.
And really made me not want to watch it. The most egregious thing was the fact that the woman has her office over here, okay? She has her lab downstairs.
Right.
She kept all of her network stuff in a linen closet, nowhere near either room, and she had a wireless router shut away inside that closet.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen in reality.
You wouldn't do that.
No,
it's
going to
block the signal. I mean, yes, the signal will get through, I get that, but it's going to have interference, there's going to be issues.
Yeah.
And it was all... in a not locked up cabinet.
And in my opinion, for what she has, the sensitivity of her data, she's going to be hardwired.
Yeah. And they had a few network cables, but,
yeah.
You know, maximum length of a network cable these days is 100 feet.
Yeah.
So unless she was router to router.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch anymore.
I'm not either. Good. So that's one show that we don't have to watch now.
Yeah, that's good.
I've got a few of those on my list this week.
That you're done with?
Yep.
Okay.
Transformers, I am done with.
Well, it's because it ended.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was.
You know, we can just sum it up with Optimus Prime.
They summed it up. Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah, they did. They wrapped it all up in a nice bow. But, you know, I mean, Optimus Prime and his Autobots got away. They went through the Starbridge.
We got the name drop of Teletran 1.
Yep.
Yeah. But it looks like they blew up.
Well, some Autobots stayed behind on Cybertron.
Like Alita,
which is probably why we haven't seen her. Because I'm guessing, I don't know if this is going to lead into the Transformers cartoon series that we grew up with somehow. Like, it's going to tie into that.
It seemed like it when they escaped. And...
But so she stays behind because, well, Cybertron still needs to be protected. The Autobots that aren't going still need to be protected.
Yep.
Jetfire's behind helping them.
Mm-hmm.
But they assumed that they exploded. Mm-hmm. But we see at the end they didn't. The ship's floating out in space, and then it's like, warning, vessel approaching, and then ended series.
Yep.
I enjoyed it.
I did too.
I enjoyed all six episodes.
Bumblebee got, he crashed.
Yes.
So they did get the Alpha Trion protocols.
Yep.
Wiped out of him, apparently. But yeah, everything was wrapped up very quickly, very neatly. I mean, they had 21 minutes, so obviously.
Right, but.
But yeah, it was more enjoyable than I expected.
Yes.
We
also wrapped up Muppets this week.
Yeah.
If you want to just talk about that
one,
too.
Go for it.
Muppets Now, again, just four shorts.
Okie dokie cooking with the meatballs.
Yes, yes.
The one giant meteor-sized meatball.
We get Robin as the social media person, Kermit's nephew Robin. So yep. We get to see him. We got like Piggy's lifestyle was weird.
She had a bucket sponsor,
but it's like we were getting a short clip of every little thing she's done all season. So yeah. It was really all kind of condensed and crammed in there and didn't make a whole lot of sense. And
she kept pausing to promote Leaky Bucket.
Yeah. It's Fozzie the Bear's interview with Seth
Rogen.
Yeah.
That was actually funny.
With the babies.
Yeah.
As I'm watching, I'm like, is this improv?
Right.
Like, are they literally doing improv?
It seemed
very funny.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching that like Saturday morning with my son was there and he kind of watched it with me and my wife came in and she saw that with the babies and.
It's so true. You know,
she's like, laughing her head off and
it's they drawn to things that are dangerous, you know, because they wanted the fire and they wanted the knives and you know, why do they want things that are dangerous? How did you learn that this was something that you wanted?
Yeah. The one baby with a voice.
Yeah. The old Jewish man voice.
Yeah. The Muppets Now, the whole Fozzie interviewing Seth Rogen was the best.
Yeah.
Part of the episode.
Because we also had the Bunsen and Beaker lab and the lawyer stopped into that.
Oh,
and it was just mixing up different chemicals and it was okay.
It was alright.
Yep. It was okay.
But both of those shows are done for the season.
Yep. I gotta say, so last week you talked briefly about Dead Pixels and how much you enjoyed it.
Yes.
I had not watched it. I was like, why is this not sound familiar? Because I hadn't watched it from the week before. So I caught up.
Got to watch it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize it. But then I went home and I looked, because it's a DVR show and I never click on my DVR anymore because I watch everything on like Hulu and such.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, so the last week, so this most recent episode with the marriage,
sure,
was funny.
Yes,
you know, and I could totally see that because they basically just wanted the in-game bonus.
Well, he sells it. Let's get married so we can get the end-game bonus, the 15 extra experience points, blah blah blah. But he clearly loves her.
Yeah,
and she apparently likes him,
but she still wants to be independent.
Yeah.
It was a good episode. It was funny. I like how they kept turning into chairs every time the dumb nuts came around.
Yes.
And his whole thing with my mom died yesterday, you know, the kid that he was like, oh, yeah, I'm playing with this new guy. His name is My Mom Died Yesterday. And it turns out his mom really did die yesterday. But you invited a 14-year-old boy over to your house. And I love the American guy. And I love how he just – he's completely –
oh, my God.
He's going to lose his wife.
Oh, I love that he was like, yeah, you got to make it work. It's important. You know, my wife and I, we have date night once a month. You know, it's this Thursday. What? Man, I got to go to a concert. I got to eat food and listen to music for 2 hours. Who goes to concerts? You stand there and listen to music for 2 hours. What is wrong with people? And he's like, hey, guys, I can still do the quest because I'm sick. But yeah, it's all right. My wife was fine with it. She's taking this, she's going with this guy from work that she talks about all the time. So, you know, yay for me. Doesn't that seem like wrong? What do you mean? They're going to go listen to music for 2 hours. Who stands and listens to music for 2 hours?
Exactly.
Yeah, completely oblivious that, yeah, he's going to lose his wife.
Because in the previous episode,
come make cookies with us? Not now, honey.
Yeah. In the previous episode, it was Mommy needs you to come hold a ladder.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't hold it by myself, you know. Daddy.
Yeah.
Mommy's not blinking.
Oh shit, guys, I gotta go.
Yeah. But I wanted to say the previous episode that I had not commented on really hit close to home because holy shit, this was the casting of the person Vince Vaughn was going to be cast in that movie.
Yes.
And they basically trolled him until he almost killed himself.
Right.
Drove into a tree.
Yeah.
And that shit happens, you know? These toxic fans who are just like, oh, that's bullshit. I can't believe that person is doing it. You see it more and more. The internet has given rise to these people who feel empowered and entitled. And it was really... it was like cringeworthy to watch it, but it happens. That shit happens. And the fact that it's true, you know, Hollywood has no idea how to cast video game movies. That's why there have been almost no successful video game movies.
Right.
It's two different mediums, right. You know? But anyway, I enjoy that show.
Yeah, I'm. You have the two main characters. I can't think of their names right now. It's just fine.
Bleep and Bleep.
Yeah, because that's still the one thing that bothers me the most about this show is how they bleep everything out. I tried finding alternate ways to watch it this week. And I tried watching it like, oh, is it on YouTube? Is it here? Is it here? I couldn't fucking find any way to watch it, so it kind of annoyed me. But anyway, so Meg and Nikki, their roommate, Allison, is basically like, you two need to cut the shit, okay? Like, you either need to go have sex with each other, Or get over yourselves, or I'm kicking you out of my flat because I'm tired of it. Because like she puts a throw blanket down and puts some pillows down and puts the picture up on the wall, and they feel triggered and attacked. And what, you want us to come out here and sit in this room?
Yeah.
No, we're doing very important things.
And then when they start fighting about being married, and she gets married to the dumb guy from work as well because
polygamy is okay.
Yeah.
More experience points.
So they start feuding by doing things like putting all the shoes in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
And what was that thing?
Smearing his toothpaste all over the mirrors.
Yes. And filling the toilet with
cornflakes and milk.
Yes. Yes. She's like, wow, that was good. She tells them to go have sex, and they're like, fine. So they each go to their own separate rooms, log into their characters, and their characters have sex.
By pushing the keyboard. And then she's like, is she still watching? And Meg looks back, and Allison's not there, but she goes, yeah, she is. Keep going.
So they seem to enjoy it. But I love the subtleties of this, too, because if you notice, if you look in the background while they're, like, awkwardly having sex, there's one person standing there taking a dagger in and out of the hilt.
Yes. Yes.
And then when they get done, they, like, put the dagger in, walk away. Like, okay, I'm done. Jacking it to watching you guys have sex.
I enjoy the show. It's a good show. I'm looking forward to more episodes. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, it has been renewed allegedly.
Good.
For a second series, but, you know, COVID maybe. We'll see. Yeah. What's next?
Teenage Bounty Hunters?
Yes. I watched that quite a while ago, actually. Like, early at the beginning of the week last week, I think it was.
Yep. This is the one where they're going after the Skip, who basically gave over her identity to a very effeminate guy.
Yeah.
In a multi-level marketing team.
Well, no. Yes, we do discover that eventually, but she is still the one they're looking for.
Yes.
Her, yes.
Yep.
They're married. Yeah, she sells fake jewelry with religious themes, but it's cheap shit spray painted.
Yep.
And they sell it for a shit ton of money and then jump town.
So mom's having book club and the girls are like, great, we'll invite this woman over to sell her jewelry to the group. And when she shows up, we'll catch her.
Yeah.
Well, this guy shows up instead and turns out he took her identity. Not that he stole it, just that she was like, I'm done with this. You be her.
Yeah.
I'm going away.
Yeah. And so he tells him that she fled to Atlanta.
Yep.
Yeah. And
which is a pretty big place.
Yes. Blair basically chases this guy down on her own and bitch slaps him into admitting everything was wrong. It's hilarious. Yeah. Cause she's pissed off. And I think she's fired up because their mom, has her book club, basically the excuse for girls to come over, eat food and drink.
Yes.
And show everybody how richy they are.
Mm-hmm.
And she hires Miles.
Judge each other.
Yeah. She hires Miles to be the valet. Because, well, he's like, oh, hey, do you need a valet? And she's like, oh, absolutely. So so Miles is excited, gets to make some extra money, gets to see his girl.
Well, because they don't get a lot of time together.
Yeah, but Blair's kind of pissed off about it. Plus, he doesn't want she doesn't want to know him knowing about her being a bounty hunter.
Right.
And when when she's giving him a ride home finally at the end, he's like, so what's the deal? And basically, I like the fact they're actually honest with each other. Where she said, look, the first time you came to my house to meet my parents, I didn't want it to be because they hired you to work for them. I wanted them to see you on equal level as my boyfriend and when you're having dinner with us.
Yeah.
You know? And he actually is like, oh, yeah, okay, I guess I didn't look at it that way. And then she's like, yeah, I live right here. And, you know, his mother is a lawyer and a state senator.
You said your mom worked two jobs.
Yeah, she's a lawyer and a state senator. And your dad, oh, he's a surgeon.
He owns a bank.
That's right, he owns a bank.
Yes.
He has
not that he works at a bank. He owns a bank.
He has a bigger, nicer house. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so this kid is rich.
Yes.
Like, he makes them look poor.
Yes, he does.
And he's just cool about it. He's like, yeah, she works two jobs. I love it. You know, she works two jobs. She's just...
Another big reveal we get in this is Bowser. Apparently used to be a police officer down in Florida.
Oh my god, I loved this so much.
He quit the force because he was getting picked on endlessly by his colleagues, and still is, because he accidentally shot his police horse during a gay pride parade.
Yeah, yeah. He kept referring to him by his name. It was like Officer Marone or something like that.
Yeah,
you know. And they had this great, again, very subtle, very dry. But they're like, it was a horse. It was a horse. A horse on the force. Hey, a horse on the force is a cop. And then the woman next to him goes, of course.
Yeah.
A horse on the force is a cop, of course.
Yeah, basically, she keeps calling, well, I'm your boss. It's like, well, no, he's an independent contractor if you want to get down to it. But yeah, she basically, the bail bondswoman, who Bowser married his sister.
Yeah.
Her sister, I mean.
Which apparently, him shooting the officer accidentally, who the officer got to retire, the horse is still alive.
Yes.
He eats mush.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was the start of things going downhill. He lost his body. We got to see a nice Photoshop picture.
I know. That was hilarious. No, Bowser, this happened to you. Yep. Like,
he lost his body.
Yep.
He lost his wife. You know, his life went to shit.
I really like the banter back and forth between the twins, which surprises me because I didn't think I would.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would be a deterrent. I enjoy it when they go on their tangents together. I think it's hilarious. Like, the show has a lot of religion in it. But at the same time, it's not preachy.
Right.
They're just so matter-of-fact about, like, which I don't know anyone that's as matter-of-fact about, like, religion like them.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, like when they're, should we tell them that those will kill you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we probably should. Okay. Hey, excuse me, sir. You know, like, things like that. Like, I don't know. I enjoy it.
Now, for Sterling this week, it was kind of rough because basically all the moms at book club were being catty and snide about what had happened with her, you know, and judging mom and judging Sterling. Sterling's trying to be a good girl, make a good impression, you know, serve stuff and be nice. And, oh, let me bring you a fresh drink.
And
should you be near alcohol, dear?
Her boyfriend, Luke, her mother is sticking up for Sterling.
Yes.
And even saying to Sterling, you know, to Debbie, like, hey, you know what? She's a good kid. Worst thing's going to happen. It's not the end of the world.
Until Drunky McDrunk
slot face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Says, we should talk about the elephant in the room. And they're like, look, she drank a little bit. She's a good girl, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, that wasn't the elephant. It was the fact that her and Luke slept together.
Well, I liked when Debbie told her, your insides could pickle him. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, your insides could pickle something.
Yeah, you shouldn't be judging people about drinking. But yeah, so yeah. Then Luke's mom is like, you done what?
My Luke? And she's, and he actually, this is, she says to Sterling, I'm very disappointed. And her mother immediately is just like, hey, it takes two to tango.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we finally, Sterling is allowed back in the house.
Yeah.
And she, her mom talks to her and she's like, look, before I met your dad, I basically did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I was not a God-fearing person back then. You know, I didn't have all this stuff. And yeah, what'll be interesting for me is this whole episode, Dad was off screen. He was hunting.
All the guys were hunting.
I'm wondering if we're going to find out about that later or if it was just a way to have them off screen.
Well, I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
However, at the same time, I feel like this family's in a financial hardship that because when she says she's going to buy some bracelet from the scam artist, she's like, oh, that's $180. She's like, $100. Okay. Yeah. So I think she's in there. I think the family's in a financial hardship that Dad doesn't know about and that Mom doesn't, you know, want to share, obviously, with the girls. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
No. I think Dad is well aware because, remember, Dad quit his job.
Well, but I don't think he would have quit his job if they were in financial peril.
Well, it could just be like he's quit his job, so we've got savings, but how long is it going to last?
See, I felt like even before he quit his job, they were in a financial crunch based on Mom's actions.
Could be. And don't forget that Mom apparently has that bounty on her head for some.
Well, they haven't shown that poster again since episode one.
Nope.
They haven't talked about it.
But they focused right in on
it. Oh, yeah. No, that was definitely the elephant in the room. So we got, that was just episode four. So we got six more episodes.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the hell out of the show.
Me too.
Surprisingly much.
Speaking of shows that I don't enjoy as much.
Warrior Nun?
Hey! You read my mind, buddy.
Yeah, I'm glad there's only one more episode. I almost didn't watch this week, but I was like, no, I need to get through this.
We got an interesting reveal by the end, and we got to see Mother Superior kick some ass.
Basically, yeah. So the girls have infiltrated the Vatican to get to to go through the wall.
They spent the whole episode infiltrating the Vatican.
Right, well, while they're voting for a new pope, and, you know, the Ninja Nun, I'm going to call him Ninja Nun, is like, you need to learn to trust your team. If we say we got this, we got this.
Yep.
And so, because she's basically like, look, your fight or flight is flight. So we don't know if you're actually going to go through with this or not.
Right.
Because she brings up the point, like, you knew exactly how much explosives to use to get to this chamber, but why did you bring 10 times as much? Because you want to blow through that 20-foot wall that, in case I can't do it? It's like, no, in case you won't do it.
Right.
But yes, we get to see Mother Superior show up and kick the fuck out of Irish Nun that immediately we all hate for no reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was great.
It was.
And then Lilith, the nun that got dragged to hell, we assume, is back. Yeah. She's possessed by something.
Yes.
You know.
And it's
and
not
she's battling within herself.
Yeah, it's not necessarily that she heals, but like the scientist lady is checking her the scar around her midsection and some of the flesh from it, and it's having some very odd reactions.
She burns it, it comes back, she rips it in half, it grows back together.
Yeah, but it comes back very aggressively and very darkly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's something going on with Lilith.
But basically, they're there looking for
the bones of that angel.
Yes, that they think that everything is made from him.
Yes, that's where all of the, that's Adriel. Where all the divinium comes from Adriel.
Adriel's armor.
Yes.
And that's why, but while she's walking through the wall, she sees like a skeleton that's all divinium.
And it's a skeleton of one of those demons that took Lilith and that, you know, has been terrorizing her. And it's all divinium.
And by the time she gets through the wall to the other side, which she does successfully do, her flashlight dies, of course. But Adriel, there's no bones there. There's nothing in there. And then she sees a person in there who's alive. He's like, oh, you know me as Adriel.
Mm-hmm.
Credits.
Yeah.
So it was a good cliffhanger.
Yep.
I'm curious to see. Oh, and we finally, and this is, I think, what pisses me off the most, is the show is called Warrior Nun. And it's now episode 9.5, basically, because it's halfway through the episode or whatever it is. And we finally see her in a warrior nun costume.
Habit.
Well,
yeah, she even says, like, is this sacrilege for me to be wearing this?
Yeah.
They're like, just wear it. Stop fidgeting.
But then she alters it to design her. So it's like her costume, her superhero costume she's finally wearing.
Yep.
It's.
And then we did have a science lady's preachy little kid who's like, you know, she's almost there.
Yes.
She'll open the door soon.
So it's interesting. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah.
There, but at the same time, it's frustrating.
Yes. And you know that this one was renewed for a second season already.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Cool. Let's mix it up a little bit.
Okay. What do you got?
Motherfucking Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai. So the first two episodes were great.
Yes.
But then when you come into the third and fourth episodes, it's still fucking great.
It's still amazing. I'm like, where are you going with this? It's fucking great.
Yeah.
So episode 3, Johnny's trying to recruit new students for the dojo.
Not trying very well. I mean, he's trying hard-ish.
Yeah.
But it's more just like, you know, handing flyers out.
Well, so basically,
flyers.
Well, yeah. But Miguel is like, look, I created a website and we can do this and da 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 da. Because he's like, he's got bills, 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 and then his students, Miguel. Like,
yeah.
And he's not making money off Miguel.
I like that he has a whole whiteboard and it's his students,
Miguel. Yeah. So Miguel gets beat up in the bathroom again by the douchebags.
And this was at the end of the episode, but I mean, I hate to say he had it coming, but basically they were hiding out in there and the guys started picking on him, but just like picking on them. And Miguel's like, I'm going to front kick this one guy to the chest.
Well, but also they had been picked on earlier in the day at the library where they got tortured there. And then when they're in the bathroom, basically, and they get caught, Miguel and his two friends. And Miguel is dressed up like Johnny was from the first movie, by the
way. Which was great.
In the skeleton costume.
Because his grandmother made him a Deadpool costume, which was not Deadpool.
No, which was not even good. Star Wars Deadpool, I don't know what it is, but my grandma made it, so I'm going to wear it.
Johnny's like, I've got an idea.
Yeah. So, anyways, Kyler and his buddies are picking on Miguel and his friends again, and Miguel decides he's going to stand up for himself because he kicked and broke those boards. So
Standing up for him with one kick.
So he gives Kyler a front kick, and it knocks him on his ass, but then he doesn't follow up with anything.
Right.
He gets immediately jumped on by Kyler's friends, and then they all kick the shit out of him.
They beat him with lacrosse sticks. Yeah, they beat the shit out of him. Now, that's the end of the episode. Talk about how Johnny taught him to kick, which was rather Miyagi-ish.
On a board?
No, he basically zip-tied his hands and threw him in the pool.
Oh, yes, that's right. Zip-tied his hands and tied his hands up and then threw him in the pool and said, kick with your feet.
Yeah.
And he pulls him out of the water. Come on, kid. He pulls him out of the water twice. And the third time, he's like, I'm not pulling you out this time.
Yeah.
And the kid learns to kick to keep himself afloat. Yes, it was
very strengthens his legs. I was like, wow, that's
that was Miyagi. Very Miyagi-ish. At the same time, Johnny finds Miguel in the bathroom and takes him home. And this is how Miguel's mother finally finds out that Miguel's doing karate.
It was a cool scene because, you know, that's how the fourth episode starts, is with him carrying the kid. You know, we just get like flashes and everything. And they basically, his mom says, get the fuck away from him. Never come near him again. You're a piece of shit.
Also in episode 3, Danielle is going to chaperone the Halloween dance because he thinks his daughter's fucking Kyler.
Well, yeah, because Kyler sent her an instant message that he happened to look at that said, I've got something big to show you.
Yeah, and at the dance when he's chaperoning it and his Kyler, he finds Kyler and his daughter in the closet and she's helping him undo his pants, but it's really just the costume because in the pocket underneath he's got a bracelet he's going to give her and he's being all sweet. Of course, we find out later it's a cheap trinket bracelet he gives everyone he wants to, you know, say, oh, it's from my grandmother, and he, you know, just to try and get in their pants.
And he tells his friends, he's like, well, it worked on the last one, so why wouldn't it work on her too?
Oh, the library scene hadn't happened yet, that's right. That was in episode 4.
Yeah.
So in episode 4, Johnny's son, Robbie, learns about the dojo, and he's embarrassed. Robbie's teacher calls Johnny.
The first part of this episode with Robbie.
Yeah.
I thought I was watching the wrong show. Like, I thought that they had started the wrong episode of something.
Sure.
Because basically we've got these people that we don't know, and it's an electronics store. And this guy comes in, he's got a busted-up laptop, and he's like, you know, oh, I need fixing. And the guy behind the counter is like, yeah, leave it with us for a couple hours. He's like, all right, I'll be back. And He just, the guy walks out of the store with the laptop, hands the shirt back over to this other guy, goes, hey, man, we owe you one. Here you go. So the employee of the store gave him the shirt so that he could scan this guy out of a laptop. And they're like, look, we got a laptop.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, wait, there's one of the flyers for Cobra Kai Dojo. Oh, this is the right show.
So, in the interim, I don't know when this happened between episode 3 and 4. I'll get to it. I'm just going to merge them together.
Sure.
Okay. So, that happened in 4. Anyhow, so Robbie with his friends steal the laptop, and then his friends want to rip off multiple people, have them Venmo us half, and then whoever shows up first gives us the other half. And what about the other two? Fuck them.
Yep.
And Robbie actually is like, I shouldn't do that. And then later on, Johnny gets a call from Robbie's school basically saying, hey, I know you're on a father-son trip, but he's been out of school for a month and needs to come back. So he goes and confronts his son with his douchebag friends.
I like that she said all that, but you could tell she didn't believe any of it. Well, yeah. I know it's really important for a father and son to bond, but...
Long and the short of it, Johnny goes and confronts his kid, who basically says, fuck off, you have no right to be a dad to me. And then he goes and confronts his ex, who's like, fuck off, you've never been in his life.
Nora Baird.
Yes.
It was great. I was like, oh, cool. They got another star in here.
And basically, she's like, look, he wants to drop out of school. I can't make him do anything anymore. And that's the end of it. And he's like, well, I'm here now. And she's like, well, it's too little too late. You don't get a chance. You know, there's no time. You know, like second chances don't just happen, etc.
Yep.
And this is important for later on. So that's what happens with Johnny. Also, Johnny, after taking Miguel to his mother, gets all pissed off and gets drunk, and he vandalizes one of Daniel LaRusso's billboards because he still blames Daniel for everything wrong in his life by painting a giant penis on it.
Giant orange penis.
Yep. And, of course, that pisses off Daniel, rightfully so.
Which, there was also something else to this that was very subtle. I don't know if they did this for you because it was on YouTube or what, but basically Johnny took a shit up there. While he was up on the
board. Oh, yes, that's right.
Because somebody was like, dude, you stepped in dog shit. And he's like, oh, man, how did dog get up here? And they're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's true.
And then
true.
Later on, they
that's
kind true. Of like hint at it that basically Johnny took a shit up there.
Yeah.
And then wiped up with some of his own flyers.
They found some of the Cobra Kai flyers up there, which is how they know that Johnny did it. Because initially, Daniel thought another dealership in town did it. That dealer also sent them like a bunch of sausages. Paid for them.
You like sausage in your mouth.
Yeah. And
he's a... not a racist guy, but he's basically like trying to play the patriotic card because you know, Daniel gives away bonsais and he's all about Asian stuff. I'm all American.
Yeah.
I'll give you a cactus.
That's good old American cactus who can survive in this dry climate they're in. You don't need to water it like bonsai trees. All because they're basically accusing Daniel saying that, you know, his karate thing is a gimmick. And he's like, no, it wasn't. I was the All Valley 2-time karate champion. Great, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But that's not, you know, so that's something. We do see at one point in one of these episodes, Daniel teaching his daughter karate when she was a kid, but he obviously doesn't do it anymore.
She's pissed at him because he embarrassed her.
Yes, at the dance. Kyler.
Oh, by the way, can we take a pause here for just a second and say that Daniel's son is a... just he's a shit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even want to say he's a piece of shit because a piece of shit would indicate that, like, he had something going for him that drives him.
No.
This kid is just a useless shit.
He's just, and I hate to say this, though I'm going to say it, he's just a little fat kid who eats and fucks off and doesn't care about anything besides those
two. But he's also an asshole about it, too, because he's like, muffins, make me some pancakes. And they're like, this isn't a restaurant.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he's an ass fuck. Anyway, continue.
That's okay. So Kyler and his buddies are talking at the library and they confront Miguel and his friends after Miguel's friends was just like, you know, I thought it was actually kind of cool that you stood up for yourself. I know you got your ass kicked, but you know, one friend's like, why would you do that? The other was like, actually, I think it's kind of cool. He stood up for himself.
Yeah.
Well, so that's what happens when you stand up for yourself. Anyway, so Kyler's a dick to them and he drops one of the kids' backpacks in the trash can, which apparently he dumped his whole yogurt in because...
Dude, he must have dumped a gallon of yogurt in there. That thing was douched in it.
And Samantha overhears this whole thing.
Yep.
And when they go on their date that night, because they're going to go see some chick flick, because he just wants to try to have sex with her.
Yep.
He tries to aggressively finger bang her in the movie, and she's like, no. And
she basically tells him, she's like, I saw what you did to those kids in the library. And he's like, we're
just friends joking around. He's like, no, you're, and she's finally, no, you're not.
Which, good on her, you know?
And so when he tries to, again, aggressively get up her skirt, she fucking protects herself.
Yep.
We see that she has some skills that she learned from her dad that she used on him, kind of embarrassing him, whatever, and she leaves.
Yep.
Also, you have a friend of hers from when they were kids, and now they're older, and Samantha's hanging out with the cool girls, and her friend is not, and they're making fun of her, and...
Oh, yeah.
We get that.
Fun of her for sitting over there eating at the dance. You know. Oh, God, the snack table is under attack by a giant pig, and they put a filter on her. And
so after Johnny, you know, he tries to get his son to go to school, and then he tries to talk to his ex about it. He's having himself a nice dinner at a restaurant, and he sees a father and son moment, then bonding over ice cream. And then we cut to Johnny, basically, he's at a doorway, and he's going, look. Basically, he says everything back to what he got told earlier. He's like, look, I know I wasn't there from when I should have been, but I'm here now. I know second chances aren't given out free.
He's the only one who hasn't given up on me.
Yeah, he's the only one who hasn't given blah, blah, blah. And it's Miguel's mom he's talking to.
Yeah. Which, meanwhile, Nana likes Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Nana said, this kid needs to get, tougher, and I like this guy. He's no nonsense.
And Nana's also like, why aren't you letting him do karate? He needs to toughen up, and it's something he likes to do. Why? Well, I don't want to get hurt. He needs to get hurt.
He got hurt.
Yeah, yeah. He got hurt, yeah. But yeah, basically just begs her to let Miguel continue training.
Yep.
And he shows up, and he's like, he goes, we're going to work on defense by having more offense.
Yes.
And then, again, Daniel discovers that Johnny's the one that vandalized the Lusso billboard, so we're going to see what happens from there. I love this show.
I do, too.
I really do.
And we're getting a cool little twist on it because Miguel is Daniel, but he's being taught by Johnny.
Yes. Yes. And
so I'm still waiting to see.
I actually thought Daniel was going to start training Kyler at one point.
Right.
Who Daniel, they would be training a Johnny.
Well, that's what I'm waiting for. I know that it's coming.
But no, because but they broke up.
What do you mean?
Kyler broke up. And
well, I'm thinking maybe Daniel re-enrolls his daughter, and now it's going to be like a Romeo and Juliet kind of thing. Like,
oh, probably.
You know, we have to face off against each other, but we're in love.
Yeah. I don't know. I enjoy it a lot.
I do, too. It's great. It's got really good production values, and I appreciate that. This was a passion project. Nobody was looking for this. And even when they decided to do it, they didn't do the, we're going to reboot it like the next Karate Kid.
No.
Or the Jackie Chan, Will Smith's son piece of shit,
Karate Kid. Which I've never watched. As much as I love Jackie Chan, I just couldn't bring myself to watch
it. No, they didn't reboot this. They said, what if we just pick up with these people 30 years later and said, look what your life has become.
And don't you want to see Johnny pull himself out of the gutter?
Pretty much, yeah.
Like, I really do. Like, I'm rooting for him to, by the end of this, get his shit together.
Yeah. Well, we all kind of did at the end of Karate Kid 1 into Karate Kid 2, where he was like, you know, you're all right, LaRusso. And, you know, he kind of turned his back on his sensei because he was like, that was bullshit what you did in there. And his sensei's like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good show. Great show.
It is a good show.
Love it.
What are we going to talk about next?
Did you watch High Score this week?
I did. And honestly, I loved it because I loved the history aspect of it. But I couldn't help but feeling that you might be disappointed with it.
I was disappointed with it.
I knew you would be because it didn't delve into what you...
It was an RPG episode. And I will say this. Like, as soon as I saw Lord British... Richard Garriott come on the screen. I went, oh, it's Lord British. Great. They're going to focus on him.
Yep.
Ultima was not the be-all, end-all.
Right.
I liked the people that founded Sierra. That was great. The text adventures and everything like that. Mystery Mansion or Murder Mystery.
Yeah. I really feel like its High Score is focusing on 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
It's not...
Well, the next one is going to be the console wars between Nintendo and Sega.
So I feel... That. Sure. But when I saw the RPG, I know... We got a history of the RPG I had never seen before, but I don't think it delved into what it became. And I think, to me, that's what you really wanted to see.
Yes. The only part that really got me was when they brought on Tetsuo Amato.
Sure.
The Final Fantasy artist.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Like, the moment I saw the brushstrokes, I went, oh, Jesus, here it comes. And even then, they really just delved into his artwork, which was phenomenal. I've got a couple of books of his artwork at home. I love the guy. And it just... Like, I was getting chills watching this, hearing them interview him, and it's all in Japanese. I'm just, like, glued to the screen. I'm like, I fucking love this guy. But the point of this episode was RPGs. It was not the artwork behind some Final Fantasy stuff. So, yeah, I was disappointed.
Yeah. And then you got the one, the gay RPG game.
I had never heard
of that. I never heard of that one at all.
Nope.
And I did like how they summed up the end where this guy's like, yeah, I actually don't have any copies of this game I created and made because they got lost when I moved.
Yeah. Yeah, I like how they had the fake story. They were like, yeah. Billy Graham showed up at his house and stole it. And,
yeah, and went no, it wasn't Billy Graham. It was some Pat Buchanan.
No.
I thought it was the guy running for president. Yeah, I thought it was like Pat Buchanan.
Okay, yeah.
And then he became gay and found a lover, and that didn't really happen. They got lost when he moved.
Yeah.
But by the end, they're just like, someone's like, hey, I have a copy. I'll send it to you.
Right.
Someone actually had a copy of that laying around.
I'm not surprised.
I know, but I've never heard of that game. It kind of... It was interesting.
But again, like, for an episode that was supposed to be about RPGs, they really laser-focused on just... It should have been bigger. RPGs is a huge thing.
Oh, it's pretty much all gaming is now, practically.
Yeah, I was looking forward to, like, Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest and seeing the merging of Square and Enix into Square Enix. Because, you know, they had Squaresoft.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy, and they were like, oh, yeah, back then, you know, it was Squaresoft that brought this. And I'm like, yes, show me the merger between those two and what they created.
They gave us the early days history of it, but they didn't really delve into current times.
Yeah.
I mean, again,
they didn't go into a lot of the Ultima stuff. I mean, I get what British was saying about basically everybody did the evil stuff because it was the easiest way. So he wanted to create, you know, Quest of the Avatar to show people that you should be good. But they didn't get into, like, Ultima Online and how that spawned all the World of Warcrafts and stuff like that. I don't know. They didn't do MMOs. They didn't do – anyway.
There was a lot they didn't cover. Maybe they'll cover it down the line.
Maybe.
You know? Obviously, it's a category that, I mean, definitely could be revisited.
Yes, absolutely. But I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. And I'm sure you enjoyed it as well. Yeah,
it wasn't a terrible episode
at all. It wasn't what you were hoping for. You were a little disappointed. Yeah.
Oh, seeing that artwork, though, that there are very few things in this world that I would consider for a tattoo.
Yep.
But some of his stuff would make that list. Some of his artwork, some of the Final Fantasy stuff, iconic, you know, chocobos, black mages, crystals. Yeah. Anyway. Moving on.
Let's stick in the realm, I guess. Let's talk about BitPlayers. So this is the Comic-Con episode, which they ended by actually going to Toronto Comic-Con and just showing us in the credits them there being enjoying the Comic-Con, you know.
Love their outfits.
Yes.
Aladdin and Axel Foley.
Axel Foley from Beverly Hills Cop,
They did a good job on those. Although I liked how Ahmed was like, I wish that there were more characters that I could cosplay.
Yeah.
Instead of just always Aladdin.
Pakistani characters, No, I thought it was good. They're basically having their cosplay party leading for Toronto Comic Con. And then their landlord steals his media pass.
VIP media pass.
VIP media pass. And steals Ahmed's, what do you call it?
Infinity gauntlet.
Yeah, gauntlet or something. Basically, this infinity gauntlet glove that he made out of pot that he could smoke pot from, get high. Someone stole both of those when they wake up. Like, it's almost like we see the party, we get the build for the love of the past, the love of the gauntlet, and then they wake up the next day hangover style, and now they have to track down and go back and retrace their steps, see who took their items, and they find out it was the guy, the cat. They call them Skeletor. I didn't see the Skeletor at all. But
I saw a skull face, but
yeah.
But they use their deductive skills to say, well, wait, he didn't have a staff. He'd need to find a staff. There's only one place in town that would sell the staff that Skeletor needs for his costume.
But they track him down, and it's their landlord. And he's like, you haven't paid me rent in months. And he's like, Leon's like, what? What do you mean you haven't paid him rent in months? And he's like, oh, yeah, well, I know it's not really an option, but you said you did. Yeah, but I didn't. And then they're like, oh, well, we got to go to Comic-Con. Give us our shit. And they run off.
Yeah.
And that's end credits. And it's them at Comic-Con taking pictures and doing all kinds of stuff.
So. I still enjoy the show. This one was weak for me.
You know? I enjoy the show as well. We only got a couple episodes left.
Yeah. Yeah. This was one of the weaker ones to me, but it was still enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
The comic book lady wants a date without it.
Yes, which doesn't surprise me.
No. She legitimately wants it.
Well, she was sweet on him from earlier episodes as well when he was buying the game system that just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So let's see. We're done with that. I'm going back through my list here. Umbrella Academy. Basically, we pick up where we left off last. The handler's talking to Five, and she's like, look, here's the deal. The board of directors runs this company. Mm-hmm. They're keeping me from doing what I want to do. You assassinate them, and I will send you and your family back to your proper timeline. He's like, no apocalypse. She's like, no, no apocalypse. He goes, you said before that it had to happen. She goes, if I'm in charge, we can do whatever we want. So you assassinate them, and basically lines it up that it's impossible. Because she says, you know, nobody ever knows where they're going to meet. They get together once per quarter.
Yeah.
It's somewhere in the timeline. So it's not even like, you know, it's this building over here. It's somewhere in the timeline. They will get together. And so he's like, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, he takes her up on the deal.
Yep.
We get Allison's
backstory of when she got here.
Yes.
Her and Ray got together.
Yep, we get that whole backstory.
Because she couldn't talk when she first got there. She had that fresh throat injury.
Yes. Allison shows Ray her powers. He takes her to a place where black people can't go there and says, I heard a rumor that you're going to let him try anything he wants.
Yep.
And he thinks it's great. And then they go back to that diner. And I heard a rumor that you're going to shut your mouth and serve us our food. And he did. But he kept making him pour the coffee and burn his hand. And Ray just got upset. And then they left. And then fast forward. And we get, of course, what Ray says. How did you ever use your powers on me? No, I didn't. But I wouldn't remember if you did, would I? No, you wouldn't. So how can I trust you never did? You just have to trust me.
Yep.
And that's the same thing that Allison has run into her whole life is when people find out about her powers, it's how have you ever used them on us? We would never know if you did.
Right.
That sucks.
Yep.
Vanya and Sissy, they have the sex.
Mm-hmm.
And Carl watches them. They're in the car.
Yeah,
they don't know they're being watched. Yeah, they don't know they're being watched, but she goes back and talks to her, and then
Sissy's like, let's run away. We can go up north. I got family in Oklahoma or something like that. And yeah, Carl watched them. But we also got the drop that, you know, Carl's brother is a state trooper. So that's going to come into play.
Of course it is. Diego tells Grace about their dad's plan to kill JFK, at least his thought that that's his plan to kill JFK. They meet with him. They all skip together and they have a meal together.
I love the elevator ride up with Luther farts.
Yes.
And everybody's losing their mind except for Diego's just kind of like, and everybody's just like, oh my God. Oh, it's so disgusting. They're like gagging and retching.
And they get out and basically they're like, and he's just taking notes on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't be your dad. Why would I do any of this?
Yep. And then they show off some of their powers and he's just like, not impressed.
Yeah.
You know, Diego throws the knife and it like wraps around his head and sticks into a thing. And he's like,
oh, missed me twice.
Yep.
That's twice you missed. Yeah. So, you know, Luther shows him, this is what you did in my body. And he's like, okay, I need to talk to you. And he goes and talks to Five in private because even he recognizes Five, who looks like the kid, is the most adult one of all of them.
Yep.
And also, unfortunately for Elliot, wrong place, wrong time, the Swedish guys show up and kill him. In a very graphically horrific way.
Dude, they torture him.
Yeah.
They rip his teeth out till he only has like one or two left. Because we see the aftermath of it.
We see
them pull out one tooth, but then we see the aftermath. Like most of his teeth are gone except for like one at the top and one at the bottom. He's got like a scalpel stabbed into his eye. He's got cuts all over his face. Like
something in the...
Dude, they...
Penetrating his chest.
Yeah.
And then they wrote in his blood an eye for an eye.
Yep. Which is... They wrote it in Swedish, and that's the title of the next episode.
Which is hilarious, yeah.
Yeah. Klaus runs into Dave again, who basically comes up to him in his
cult
compound and says, you know, how did you know this stuff? And he's like, oh, I know all this about you. And basically tells him the future. He's like, because I'm a prophet. And tells him, don't enlist, don't do this. And he's like, but I want to do it, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, it's too late anyway.
Yeah, I already enlisted. What do you mean you were supposed to enlist this early? Well, after I met with you, my uncle took me right down and made me enlist. And
ship out on Monday.
Yeah.
So maybe he's going to be in a different place at a different time.
Maybe he'll never meet Klaus now.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see.
And during Dad's dinner, Ben possessed Klaus.
Yes.
It was very painful and very brief, but he was like, I'm Ben.
And then they collapse. But they assumed he was having a seizure.
Yeah, and nobody else was like, nobody said, oh my God, is Ben actually? Because they mentioned it, and Klaus is always like, no, he's not here. But then he argues with him, and nobody else can see him.
Yeah, Klaus is kind of being a dick about it all of a sudden.
Do you think that Diego's mom there is actually the one who's going to be, you know, she's part of the group that wants to kill the president, and Dad
maybe
isn't?
Maybe.
Because she seemed to be very calm about it. She's like,
she's always portrayed as being very angelic and by all of them, like she was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah. She is a very pretty lady, but, you know, she, there's more going on there, I think.
Just like the Transformers, more than meets the eye. This show's great, though, two seasons in a row.
Yep. Yep. I'm very much looking forward to the next episode.
Do we have any old shows to talk about still?
Let's see.
I don't think so.
List. We decided no more Biohackers.
Well, yeah.
Well, depends on if you say old meaning something that we already watched the first season of.
I don't mean like The Boys. I know we have The Boys and a couple other new shows, but like anything we hadn't talked about. Okay, so we're on to the new shows that came out this week.
Yes.
So I'm going to reword that one.
Yeah.
So, The Boys, what did you think of episode one, season two?
Well, I kept waiting for Stormfront because, you know, she's been touted as the new face this time, and we didn't get her till the very end of the episode.
Yeah.
And it was basically that trailer that we already watched of her showing up and doing the, what's its face there? Oh, the little Instagram live thing. We've already seen that scene.
Yeah, that's basically all we got of her in this episode. Yeah.
Billy, I thought Billy was gone as in, like, Homelander had taken him captive or something.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, we should call Billy. And Jack keeps saying, no, we don't need to. We don't need to. And then they finally call him and he just shows up. I'm like, wait, he wasn't captured or anything?
Well, that's the thing is episode one, season one ends with Homelander and the Butcher at Homeland with Becca at her house with Homelander's son.
Yeah.
And then we don't even see them, like, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know what happened after that. They haven't told us, but Homeland goes to visit them again in this episode, but we don't see the son. We just see Becca again.
Yeah.
And we don't know what Billy's been up to. We know that he's been blamed for Stillwell's death.
And all of the boys are now, you know, wanted
fugitives. Yeah.
Yep.
Ashley is going to be replacing Stillwell.
Yeah.
And she brings in someone, a blind guy, basically a daredevil-like person. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a total...
To be a new member of the Seven, and Homelander basically explodes his ears.
Yeah, he's like watching him do all these flips and kicks and use his other senses. And he goes, yeah, what if I do this? And claps his ears.
Yeah.
And they explode. And he's like, now you're just a blind guy.
And blood is just pouring out of his. And he says, don't want no fucking cripple on my team.
Yeah.
Is basically what he says. So basically he tells Ashley, like, look, you're not in charge of anything. Mm-hmm. I'm in charge. You are my puppet. You will do everything I say. You will do everything I want you to do. I will be the one to decide, make all these decisions, yada, yada, yada. So, like, when they show the focus groups about things, and Ashley's like, oh, we should really, you know, I should say that you guys are going to save the world. And he's like, no, we're going to save America. End of discussion. Like, basically, he doesn't give a fuck what Ashley comes at him with. It's going to be the way he wants it, or his way or the highway.
And he thinks that's going to work on Giancarlo Esposito's character.
Well, that's when we meet Stormfront is at the end. And then he takes off to, yeah, exactly. And Giancarlo basically tells him to get fucked.
Yeah, he's like, we're not a superhero company. We're a pharmaceutical company.
Yeah.
And you handed over our Formula V.
Yeah.
To people out there, and the FDA has it now, and pretty soon the public's going to know about it. So you fucked us.
Yeah.
So we don't care about you.
And he's like, well, if my contract's coming up soon, maybe I'll go someplace else. And basically he's like, okay, go.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's when he goes back to visit his son.
Yeah.
We see that they're trying to portray this image of Homelander and Starlight as a couple.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, they publicly.
They attend Transition's funeral together. They do a couple
of the empty glass coffin. It was so funny. He's just like tapping on it. And he's like, he died because Black Noir did a mission into terrorist. It was a super terrorist out there.
Yeah.
Who could, you know, explode with the power of the sun or something like that. Black Noir, I don't know what his deal is, but like his armor got partly melted off and he had like scarred skin underneath and he didn't seem to care. He just took that little stuffed rabbit to the boy and was like,
doo-doo. Next thing you know, you see him walking around. Yeah, because, and we find out basically what happened, which we knew, but is like Homelander released this, the Compound V, and so now people are terrorists, super terrorists, as they call it, around the world are all jacked up.
But that's what he wanted. He wanted to give the...
So that way they could get into the military. That was his plan.
Yep.
And now there's a soup terrorist that's loose in the United States who got smuggled in. We don't know who he is, but he can apparently lift shit. And
the woman seems very interested in this. She breaks the word boy.
Yeah.
And keeps pointing at it. Could be her son was smuggled in, or this could be her son. I don't know.
They meet with the CIA deputy director that helped them in the first season. Her head gets exploded.
Yeah. Like, unexpectedly, just all of a sudden, boom.
Like, she talks about Compound V and, like, I'm going to help you guys. Hey, your nose is bleeding. And then her fucking bot, she talks against Vought. Mm-hmm. And her fucking, her head explodes.
And they're trying to go through it. Like, Huey's all right beside himself. And they're going through. They're like, okay, it could have been that, you know, they were watching her. She could have had something implanted in her. She could have been, like, somebody put a suggestion in her head so that if she ever talked out about it, then her head would explode. Now, Huey and Starlight are still kind of seeing each other because he's trying to get her to get...
They're working together.
Yes.
But
like, their legs touched and, you know, he still loves her, I'm sure.
And she's mad because you lied to me so much. And
then he does it again because, you know... The CIA lady's head exploded, and he won't tell her about that.
Yeah.
But she basically finds this kid that is also a soup that regenerates his body parts.
They used to work. They were on the same Catholic team together or some shit.
Some Christian
the team. Seven. Yeah. Yeah.
And she blackmails him because she sees him. He's basically got a side hustle. He works at Vought, but he's got a side hustle of, you know, this guy who has money. Pays him. They go to a hotel room, and he's like, "You can cut off my arm." And
so yeah, $400 to cut his arm off.
Hacks the shit out of it, and then he's like, "Hey, for another grand, you can cut my dick off." And he's like, "Now I get to keep the arm, right?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'll grow another one." And he's like, "You can cut my dick off." And the guy's like, "Where's the nearest ATM?"
Yeah.
So she gets video of that and is like, "Look, you're gonna get me a sample of Compound V, or I'm gonna show this to everybody."
The other backstory is the Deep is upset because he is still stuck out in Ohio, Sandusky, Ohio, and, you know, he couldn't even go to Transition Funeral, and he's kind of going off the deep end because he's all sad about himself, and he gets arrested.
I like how the bartender doesn't say, "I'm going to call the cops." He goes, "If you don't get out of here, I'm going to call TMZ.
Yeah. He gets arrested for causing a disturbance at the water park. He gets bailed out by Eagle the Archer.
Yes.
Who Deep doesn't remember, but they keep offering him frescas.
Yeah.
And basically he joins the Church of the Collective so he can try to get back into the Seven.
Yeah.
So
the woman passes herself off as like a therapist, essentially.
Yeah. But she says therapy is wrong and destructive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she wants him to talk about his problems.
Yeah.
And, you know. Yeah. So he's going to have a arc along those lines, I think. So then there's two new shows.
Well, I watched three new shows.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Two of them I told you about I was watching.
Yep.
First one was Young Wallander. What'd you think?
I don't think I need to watch any more of this.
I'll probably keep watching it. I didn't think you would. I'll keep watching it.
I figured you would, and you can keep me up to date on it.
It's basically, excuse me. Was it Swedish?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Swedish series is basically he's like a detective Wallander, and a bunch of books and movies and TV shows have been made about this guy. And now this is, but those were all made when he had already been a police officer for like say 20 years.
Okay.
Now this is when he's just kind of joined the force.
Okay.
And the first one is a hate crime where a guy gets a grenade stuck in his mouth and taped up, and then his face explodes and
So it looks like it's based on soccer hooligans.
Yeah.
Like they didn't like the team because they tied him to a soccer goal and they painted his face like a certain flag. And
Wallander is apparently living in the projects. He's living in a place where he doesn't let anyone know he's a police officer because they all hate cops, as they call them in the show, pigs. Mm-hmm. But of course, he has to reveal himself because this kid is being, you know, he's been tied to this goalpost, people taking pictures with him, and he's... This is before his face gets exploded. And then they have protest rallies later on that the police are...
Well, they're trying to take the suspect to jail or to the courthouse or something.
They're trying to transport, and it's... Yeah.
My thought is his buddy there who just made, like, lead detective, major crimes. Huh. And they threw their going away party for him and everything in his life is going good. And his wife says that they just got a new place and it's going to be more expensive, but now they've got more rooms. I'm like, well, this guy's name's Dead Meat.
Yeah, well, no, but he also, Wallander ends up taking his promotion because the detective's like, I want him on this case, the head detective. And he's like, yeah, well, he's a patrolman. He can't be. Okay, well, there's a promotion open. Give it to him.
Yeah.
He's like, no, the contract's already been signed. You know, the other guy starts Monday. And he's like, look, I don't care. The order is you're taking that promotion.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, no, that's my buddy. He deserves it. And so Wallander's actually one that tells him. And his friend handles it well. I don't say anything to my wife, but good for you.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not how I wanted it. I know it wasn't, but this is what it is. And
but then at the end of the episode, he runs away. Like, Wallander sees the guy that he believes he sees the guy that...
That murdered the kid at the beginning.
Pulled the pin out of the grenade. And
he chases him down while his buddy's getting his ass handed to him by a bunch of people. Yeah.
So my thought is either there's going to be some bad blood there or his buddy's going to be fucking killed.
Yeah.
And then he's going to have the guilt of I took his job, I got him killed, blah, blah, blah.
At the end of the episode, while Wallander's trying to take the guy into custody, he gets stabbed.
Yep.
Which, you know, for me is, well, I've already know they've made shows about him. So he's not going to die.
Right.
It's pretty redundant.
Yeah. Yeah.
What'd you think of Away? Now, the new Netflix – by the way, Young Wallander is on Netflix, and this next series, Away, is also a Netflix TV series with Hilary Swank, and it's about the international squadron of astronauts that are going to go to Mars.
Yes. First, I want to step back for a second.
I'm sorry.
Young Wallander. The reason that I said that I don't really want to watch it is because it was slow. And it just didn't seem to have anything that really grabbed me and raped me in. It was not a bad show. It just nothing about it really got me excited.
Sure.
And I found myself watching it going, eh. I didn't dislike it.
Yeah.
I just didn't really like it.
But you're also not a huge fan of police procedurals or
correct
crime shows anyway.
Correct.
So.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, all day long.
Not the same.
No.
It's a bit of a comedy.
Yes, it is. So Away, as you said, this is a crew that's going to Mars.
Yeah, we have Hilary Swank as the American representative. excuse me. She's the commander of the mission. Mm-hmm. You have Chinese astronaut who is her specialty is...
Not speaking English.
Yeah, that's true. Then you have the Russian astronaut, and you have the, is he British?
I think so.
Yeah, British, and then, and then the last one is African, Ghana, something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're all going to the moon first as the staging area, because apparently the moon's been, not colonized, but has a base on it in this. And then they're going to go on this 3-year mission to Mars. They'll be gone for 3 years going to Mars and back.
Yep.
And in the first episode, there's a mishap.
Yep.
While they're – are they on the moon yet or going to land on the moon?
I'm sorry. There's a mishap, but then there's also flashbacks to a previous mishap that sets the stage for why nobody trusts her.
There's no flashbacks to a previous mishap.
They're all talking about it in the past tense.
Fair enough, but that is the mishap I'm referring to. There's only one mishap on the show,
okay.
Which is the fire.
Oh, no, there were two mishaps.
What's the second mishap?
The second mishap was me watching this show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Holy shit. Continue.
Well, no, okay, but here's the thing. In the first episode, there's already – they basically cause – first episode – you see that they're being interviewed by the media, and they all appear to be together as a team, rooting for each other. You know, the Russian astronaut's not offended that even though he has more experience as an astronaut than, you know, Hilary Swank's Emma Green character, she's still the commander of the mission. Mm-hmm. Doesn't bother him. They've trained together for 2 years. They trust each other. Everything's great, which clearly is not the case, because when they just go from Earth to Moon, and there's a fire incident, and she takes action to take care of them. The whole episode is a flashback of how she handled the fire.
And how they all want a mutiny now.
Well, two of them don't trust her. The other two trust her. There's five of them. Mm-hmm.
But they were legit talking about a mutiny.
Yes. The two that don't, the Russian and the Chinese.
Yep.
And the Russian and the Chinese, they can't even have, their story isn't lining up either.
Mm-hmm.
They both saw it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, they're creating some high tension right at the beginning. And then now, oh, her husband has a stroke he has brain lesions apparently, and one of them let go. And so he had a stroke. And so now she's not going to go on the mission. And yeah.
Except that he gets on the phone with her daughter and he says, "You have to do it.
Yeah.
You have to go on the mission."
And the daughter's like, "You have to go, Mom. That's me talking now. Even though I just begged you to stay." I don't know if I like it either.
So here's my thought. This is Lost in Space without the sci-fi aspect.
Yeah.
This is Event Horizon without the horror aspect.
Yeah.
Like, imagine Event Horizon except for none of the scary stuff happens.
It'd be a shitty movie.
Imagine Lost in Space where there's no robots, there's no lasers, there's no...
I don't like the show to begin with.
This is a soap opera.
Yeah, and it's...
It was literally, the first episode was a soap opera because, you know, oh my god, his lesions, and he's having a stroke, and oh my god, I should turn around. And everyone's like, "Good, go back. We don't want you here anyway."
Yeah.
And she's like, "No, now my daughter wants me to press on, and my husband..." I'm like, where's the space aliens? Where's the monsters? Where's the... If the whole show is just them trying to get out there, this is Battlestar Galactica, the episodes that were just about the politics.
Yeah. This whole series, from what I've read, doesn't change much. It's not a space show. Like, it's the whole premise of the show is about a team going to fucking Mars, but yet it's still not about space.
I remember seeing a couple of articles when the trailer came out, and they said, "This is a drama with heavy emphasis on the drama."
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all set with it. I mean, if you want to keep going, let me know if I've made a mistake, then by all means. Maybe I have. Maybe I'm cutting it short.
No, I don't know. I may watch more episodes. I may not. It's not going to be a priority. Like, I'm not... it's not going to be a priority.
Okay. Well, again, if you do, I'm not going to... I would like to know...
Are you going to keep watching?
No, not at all.
Okay,
no.
I didn't think so.
If you do keep going, though, I look forward to finding out if I made a mistake or not.
Well, yeah, I'll definitely let you know about it if I watch it.
Yeah.
I'm just... Yeah.
I discovered something this week that really bummed me out.
Okay, what?
The last episode of Doom Patrol that I watched was episode 9.
Sure.
Wax Patrol.
Sure.
And it was on... Remember how I told you it was on a big cliffhanger and I couldn't wait for the next one because the next one wasn't on there?
Mm-hmm.
No, that was it for season 2. They ended on a giant fucking cliffhanger. Remember how season 1 ended? And
yes.
Like, they had some resolution, but,
yes.
You know, there was still a few things that had to be resolved. And they got into that in season 2. No, this was a giant fucking cliffhanger. And apparently that was it for season 2. I'm upset. That's all the shows that I got.
I watched a new show today.
Yeah.
Just on a lark. It's called Transplant. It's on NBC.
Okay.
This is a Canadian TV show.
Transplanted to America?
Uh-huh. It already aired on CTV this past February through May.
Mm-hmm.
So all the episodes are out there. I guess if you really wanted to, you could probably buy the series on DVD and watch it before it airs here.
Okay.
It's 13 episodes. It was already renewed for a second season in Canada. Basically, the show centers around...
Can't help you out here, bud.
I know you can't. Syria. There we go. I couldn't think of the country. Okay. It's basically a Syrian refugee in Canada. Because of the civil war there, this guy and his sister came to Canada as refugees. He was
much smarter than going to America.
Probably. He was a doctor in Syria. But he can't be a doctor in Canada because that's not how it works.
Yeah.
So, of course, the first episode, there's a big traumatic event that happens.
Oh, transplant. Gotcha.
No, there's no transplant that
way. Well, no, like he's a doctor, doctors do transplants. He's a transplant from Syria to Canada. Play on words, got it.
Yes.
With you.
So he has to do some doctoring, and one of the people that he saves is this brilliant doctor at the big hospital there in Toronto. And he has to drill a hole in the side of his head to relieve the pressure from his skull fracture. So, of course, you know what's going to happen. He's going to be the new doctor. You know, by the end of the episode, that doctor's now woken up from his induced coma after having the hole drilled in his head. And he's like, I know we met once before when I interviewed you for a position and it didn't, you know, and I was pretty close-minded. So I think we need to do that interview again. So
he's on Hulu. I think I've seen it show up on my
page. Yes, it is on Hulu, but it is an NBC show.
Right, right. Yeah. But I've seen it show up on my Hulu page.
So I liked it.
Okay, cool.
I enjoyed it. I'll watch another episode, most likely. I don't know if I want to give it a hard sell, but you should probably take a moment and watch it.
I forgot that I watched a new show that's on Hulu as well.
Yeah, what?
Dicktown.
Okay, how is it?
It's great. It's an animated show. It's kind of like Archer.
Sure.
But it's much cruder, and their town is called Richardville, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, everyone that's a local just calls it Dicktown.
Yep.
And they solve terrible crimes. Basically, one of them is a detective, and the other one thinks he's a detective, but he's not. And he's like, I literally just keep you around for your muscle. You were the jock in high school. You picked on me. You are my muscle. I keep you around for tough guy stuff. And he's like, no, I'm a detective. I'm a friggin' detective. It's great. I love it. The animation isn't like, I mean, it's kind of like Archer in that it's realistic, but I would relate it more to like Johnny Quest.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. I won't give it a hard sell, but I'll give it a sell.
Okay.
It was fun. Little short 20-minute episodes.
I like stuff like that.
Yep. Dicktown.
Yes. I watched 4 movies.
I watched 3.
3 of my 4 movies we watched were the same.
Okay.
So I'll talk about the one I watched that you didn't watch.
Yeah.
I watched Unknown Origin.
Damn it. I tried watching that like 3 times, but I had to keep stopping and doing something else. So I was like, I'll just save it for next week.
We will talk about it next week.
Okay.
It's worth watching.
Okay, good. Yeah. I wanted it to be worth watching.
I'll say this. It's in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's the subtitles are shitty or whatever it is, but...
Did you do a subtitle or did you do it?
Oh, subtitle. English subtitle. In Spanish, English subtitle. Okay. There is some quirky dialogue. Okay? A killer is murdering people based on comic book origins.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a kind of a comic book movie.
Which is why I really wanted it to be good.
Yeah. I do enjoy it. In the trailer, you see, like, the head of the homicide division wears cosplay all the time. They explain why.
Okay, good.
You know, it makes sense.
Okay.
It's kind of over the top in some areas, but it's quirky. I enjoyed the hell out of it. Like, awesome. I watched it for what it was. I didn't take it serious, and I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Great.
You know?
Looking forward to it. Like I said, I started it, I think, 3 different times.
Yeah.
3 different times, 3 different days, you know, and every time I get pulled away to something else or I get distracted and I'm like, shit, or I'm going to fall asleep. And
it's worth your time.
Good.
The other 3 movies I watched Freak, You're One of Us.
Yeah.
What'd you think of that?
I thought it was very rapid.
It went fast.
Yeah.
It went fast.
Yeah.
Basically, these people are born with superpowers and they're given medication to suppress them. And
they all seem to live in the same area.
Yeah.
Have the same therapist who gives them the same medication.
And I'm wondering, there's an American movie on there called Freaks.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if this is a sequel to that somehow.
I don't know. Maybe.
Because it's about a little girl who has powers.
Hmm. Maybe.
Well, it only came out 2 years ago.
Mm.
Emile Hirsch is in it.
No, this was not bad.
No, I enjoyed it. It was good. It just, yeah, the story went, it was an hour and a half movie. The story went super, super fast.
Mm.
Like, it went fucking fast. Like, when the dorky guy finds out he can do electricity and becomes Electro Man, he goes from happy-go-lucky, look at me, I can make a light bulb light up in my hand, to I'm going to murder a bunch of people.
Fucking super villain.
Yeah.
Like, immediately.
Yeah, like.
And he had really quick command over his powers.
Yes. It was, yeah. But I liked it.
Yeah.
It just came out, so I don't want to talk about it too much and ruin it for people.
Yeah. It is a foreign movie.
Yeah.
I think it's German.
Yes, I believe it was. Yeah, yeah.
I
dubbed this one. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I tend to do dubbing with a lot of the Biohackers. I was dubbing.
I dubbed Biohackers. Yeah,
done with that. Anyway,
But I liked it.
Yep.
The other movie Kate and I watched, I mean, Love Guaranteed.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. It's a rom-com that is 1,000% predictable, but I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pleasant to watch. You knew every beat that was coming all through the thing.
They didn't try to trip you up. They didn't try to trick you. It was very... I'm like, I looked at Cam, like, this is a fucking Hallmark movie.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix.
Big time. But I would have liked to have seen a little more room for Damon Wayans Jr. to express his comedy, because he's such a funny guy.
But it's Rachel Lee Cook, Damon Wayans Jr. He is suing a online dating company because...
Heather Graham.
Heather Graham runs the company, yeah, but he's suing the online dating company because they guarantee love, and you have to go on 1,000 dates. In the fine print,
he did. Yeah.
No, in the fine print, it says... the love guarantee is if you've gone on 1,000 dates. So he did it. He was on these 1,000 dates. And Rachel Lee Cook, of course, is the lawyer that he finds because she's a civil litigator. And he wants to sue them.
He's a physical therapist for one of her recent clients.
Well, that's how we discover later. That's how he found her. Yes. Yeah. But I got to say it again. It's completely predictable. If you think they fall in love, you're right.
Yeah. If you think that, you know, the trial is going to have one big mishap in the middle of it, you're right.
You're right. But even, like, there's no huge trigger where they hate each other and then they get back together. There's just, like, where she gets freaked out and kind of ghosts him for a couple weeks, and then they're fine. I mean, she explains why, and he's cool with it.
Yeah.
No, it's, again, I enjoyed the movie. It was very predictable.
Yep. I knew what it was going in, so.
But it's one of those things where it's just like, you know what, though? This is kind of what I needed to watch right now.
Mm-hmm.
Will I ever watch it again? I doubt it.
No.
You know? No. Would I watch a sequel if they made another movie with these characters? Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last movie is a steaming, hop-heaping pile of fucking garbage called I'm Thinking of Ending Things, and I Almost Fucking Hate You.
So, Charlie Kaufman made this movie.
Yes.
And he has a history of fucking weird movies. Now, I read something on this because I was very taken aback as well. This is a fucked up movie. But correct me if I'm wrong, Mike.
Yes, I know. I'm going to make you watch fucking Snyder Cut. I get it.
Well, no. This is beyond that. This is beyond that. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. I could not have done this movie justice sitting across the table from you telling you this is fucked up.
No, you couldn't.
Which is the only reason I said you had to watch it.
No.
Because I could not properly put into words what the fuck was going on in this fucked up fucking movie.
I don't fucking know.
So here's the thing. I read an article. This was based on a book.
Yes.
Now, think about the movie. Think about everything that you saw in the movie.
Sure.
Okay. We're not going to devote a lot of time to this because
I fucking hope not.
Think about everything that you saw.
Yeah.
Now, imagine if you had this nugget of information. All of these characters are the same person. The janitor is idealizing all of this in his head. So at dinner at night, when they keep turning to Jesse Plemons' character, who is the janitor? The janitor later on in life is idealizing all of this. When they look at Jesse Plemons' character for guidance, or they say, well, what about this? It's actually him making this all up in his head. The girl never existed. That's a girl that he never had the balls to get her number at trivia night. So they never dated. They never went out. He's just romanticizing it in his head.
And
him being a genius, him being super smart, but the fact that his parents kept changing like their looks or their places or stuff, he's crazy. It was all in his head. It was all made up.
I mean, that would explain a little bit.
Yep.
And make a little bit more sense.
It's still fucked up.
But the movie's completely fucked up.
Yeah.
It's fucking garbage.
Did you ever...
It's fucked up.
Did you ever find yourself, like, you're watching it, and you're like, did I just skip into a different movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Like that one movie that the janitor's watching, and you're like, this is a whole different movie. Who are these people? Who are these characters? Or, like, his mom's suddenly dying, and you're like, what happened? Why is she dying? Yeah. Wait, now it's like the 50s and she's dancing around and...
And young. And then, oh, now they got dementia. Oh, yeah. And now Jesse Buckley, the young woman in the movie, whatever, that they called Lucy. She's called Lucy.
Yep.
She's called Louisa. She's called Lucia. She's called Ames.
Because he kept making it all up in his head.
But again, that makes a bit more sense now.
It was never translated to the movie, but that's what the original.
Oh, and they do the whole fucking dance scene from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Fucking ballet.
Yeah.
And then he's an old man winning the Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
And he sings fucking a song from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And then,
like I said, I could not have done this justice. I sat through this because I thought it was going to be good.
I did too.
I think you actually originally.
I thought it was going to be good. Yeah, I liked the trailer because the trailer is told from her point of view.
Yeah.
I will say it was interesting. The movie was shot in 4:3 or 1/66:1. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting because I thought at first.
Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah. So.
I like
Jesse Madison. Plemons, but not. No.
No.
Just fucking no.
No. Please don't watch this movie, anybody.
Do not watch this fucking garbage.
Don't encourage him. That's all I got for movies.
Fucking garbage.
So do you hate me a little less?
Fucking garbage. Well, I don't hate you at all, but it's just fucking garbage.
I don't want to minimize it to Misery Loves Company, because it wasn't that. It wasn't like, well, if I had to sit through this.
It certainly seemed like it.
No, it was, I needed somebody else, and I knew I'd be talking to you about it no matter what. I needed somebody else to be able to bounce this off of and be like, dude, how fucked up was that? Because if you had come to the table and been like, no, it made complete sense and blah, 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 and I thought this, I would probably be going out of my mind right now. Good.
Yeah, I'm okay. Don't watch this fucking movie.
Nope. Moving on.
My only bit of news, X-Files Albuquerque, the new cartoon, mm-hmm. not going to feature Mulder and Scully.
Boo!
It's going to be newer agents that are going to that are apparently helping them somehow. Yeah.
Okay.
I want to
watch it a little less.
And my second bit of news I forgot I had, so I do have two pieces of news.
Yep.
Fargo returns September 27th.
Nice.
11 episodes for the season, so new show.
Like most of the seasons before it, I will probably start it, and I don't know if I'll keep going with
sure.
it.
Sure. I'll watch the whole thing.
Yes, you will. My two pieces of news, Mandalorian Season 2 is coming October 30th. Waiting for the trailer.
Yep.
You should get one soon. And Batman has COVID.
Yes, that's right. Rob Pattinson shut down. They shut down production because of that. Oh, here's something else I read today. Rumor has it that in the Snyder Cut, Ryan Reynolds is going to be appearing as Green Lantern.
Nothing's wrong with your audio, folks. I'm at a loss.
Yeah.
He hated that character. He shot himself in the head in Deadpool 2 to stop himself from going to that character.
I know.
If he shows up in there...
I think he's going to do it.
Done.
With Ryan Reynolds?
Done.
No.
All respect, done.
No, I think... Well, okay, A, I think if he does it ironically...
Maybe. But it's Zack Snyder's cut. Yeah. He doesn't like humor. He doesn't want any kind of humor.
Trailer I sent you, Never Hike in the Snow.
Yep.
It's Friday the 13th. Fan film comes out October 13th. They did a great job with Never Hike Alone, the first fan film. I do have some more news. It's Friday the 13th related.
Okay.
The original cut of Friday the 13th, part 2, the kill scenes were more graphic and gory, and the... fucking MPAA gave them an X, so they cut a bunch of scenes out to make it an R, and that footage was thought to be lost forever. Well, while the company was doing research to do this new set that comes out here soon, the big box set of all the Friday the 13th flicks for the first time together with new documentaries and new behind the scenes and new little features, they got their hands on the original cut. Because one of the makeup effects guy had a VHS copy of it.
Oh, is this you pushing once again the VHS?
No. But he had a VHS copy of it, and it's something he held on to for years. And yeah, I got that still. And sure as shit, there's all the original scenes, original cuts, original footage, original goriness and everything.
Yeah, original cuts.
Yeah. But what's hilarious is they were so worried that the quality of the VHS was going to be the shits because, you know, VHS tapes... near the end of the run, were made very cheaply.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Yeah, but this is from when VHS tapes were made in the early 80s, like 1982 or whatever it was. So they were, like, really good quality, actually. And so the fucking footage looks pristine and looks awesome. And I really, like, I wanted to buy the set basically because it's like, ah, oh, that'd be cool to have.
Absolutely.
But not going to buy it because it's like $150. And realistically, I have all the movies. I don't need to see the movies. And you know what I mean? I don't like, and like, yeah. I'm basically spending $150 on packaging and on the new little documentaries, which sometimes are great, but most of the time aren't that great.
And quite often are available on YouTube.
And also when you have the 4-hour documentary that someone already made on the Friday the 13th series that covers it like amazingly well, you don't need all the little, new little features. And
right.
I'm not into the director's commentaries like I used to be. Mm-hmm. I don't. When's the last time you even listened to one?
I can't remember. Honestly.
Yeah, same here. Which is when DVDs came out, that was such a cool thing. You'd watch your favorite movie, the director's commentary. I'm talking all about commentary. I mean, or whatever. But anyhow, but now with this new footage, I kind of want to see it. But at the same time, it's not worth $150 to watch.
Yeah.
My hope is that they'll release this cut of the movie on by itself on Blu-ray or DVD or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's my hope. Trailers for you.
Trailers. We got a full-on trailer for No Time to Die.
The new James Bond. Yes.
Looks pretty badass.
Different than the first trailer.
Yep.
You know, it's, yeah, looks really badass.
Yep. I'm very much looking forward to it. Another trailer that I sent you, The Comeback Trail.
Which I realize I did not send you any comments about it, so I'll tell you now, looks fucking awesome.
It does look fucking awesome.
Yes.
Old guys, we've got, let's see,
Robert De Niro, Tommy Lee Jones, Morgan Freeman.
Yep. Basically, and Zach Braff.
Zach Braff, yeah.
Of all people.
Yeah.
But basically, old guy, he's trying to, he owes a lot of money, and they discover that, you know, this movie star that they wanted to talk to about being in their picture, he falls and he dies while on set, and he was insured for a lot of money.
Like five or 50 million or whatever.
And so they're like, hey, that's how we can get out of debt. We'll pretend to make a movie. We'll get this old guy to be the star.
Tommy Lee Jones.
We'll wait for him to die on set.
Yeah.
And when he does, we'll collect the insurance money.
So they keep putting him in more and more dangerous situations. And he keeps
dying.
Living through them. Yeah. No, this looks great.
It does. One more piece of news that popped up on my phone while we were recording. I just wanted to share with you. Apparently, The Boys Season 2 is getting review bombed right now.
Oh, yeah?
For the simple fact that this past Friday, the first 3 episodes dropped.
Yeah.
And now there's going to be 1 new episode every week until October 9th.
Yeah.
People are pissed. They want it all at once.
Fuck people.
Really? Like, why would you drop the reviews of something because of that?
Well, it's just like the podcast called Nice White Parents, which was part of – I don't know if you ever listened to it. No. I haven't talked to you about it. So there's a podcast. It's called Nice White Parents, and it's done by a reporter who is white herself. And basically, she lives in New York, and she was looking into, you know, trying to get her kids into middle school. Mm-hmm. And how it's a competition down there.
Mm-hmm.
To get your kids in the right school or into this school or what this school offers and this and that. And basically she kind of points out the fact that all these nice white parents who have good intentions end up fucking things up, even though that's not their intention. Mm-hmm. And before, and so it's part of This American Life. Mm-hmm. Like this reporter works for This American Life as well. This podcast though was put out through New York Times, but all the post-production, everything was Ira Glass, and the This American Life team had a lot to do with this, but New York Post is New York Times who put it up. So it's interesting to me because Ira Glass was saying that before this show even aired, before a single episode was posted for anyone to listen to, people were killing it in the reviews. Like they were giving it 1 star or they're giving it 5 stars and they never even heard it based on the title alone.
Wow.
And I listened to every episode, and it was very non-biased, good reporting.
It's the same thing that happened with the movie The Hunt.
Yeah. Yeah, same based exact on the
trailer.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, just based on the title, people are like giving it 1-star reviews, and so other people are giving it 5-star reviews to try to counteract the 1-star reviews, and on and on and on. And
crazy.
Yeah.
I remember that I watched one of the show, but I'm going to save it till next week.
What was the name of it?
It was the next episode of The Vow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool.
All right. Funny story about that. Friend of mine, this kind of goes to news or whatever, but sure. A friend of mine my friend Kelly that I've mentioned a few times. Yeah. She sent me a message the other night and she's like, hey, I got HBO Max. Give me your list of shows. And I'm like, great. And of course, it's me. So I'm not going to do a novel about it. But each show, I give her a little reason. You know, so I'm like, Doom Patrol because of this, blah, blah, blah. So I gave a list of shows. And I'm like, and here's something that I haven't started yet, but I want to see. And these are supposedly good, blah, blah, blah. The very first thing that she sends me back is, Doom Patrol is not available on HBO Max. I was like, yes, it is. I just watched it the other night. She goes, no, it says that I can buy the episodes. And I'm like, no. So she took a picture and sent it to me. You know what it said in the upper left corner? Roku. And I went, oh, dear. You don't get to watch it. I was like, yeah. You get to go on your computer or something because there's no HBO Max. I said, what you're looking at is like the stripped down HBO Go version.
Which doesn't exist anymore.
Right. She's like, oh, shit. Well, I guess I'll have to watch it on my phone or something. I was like, yeah, for now until they get you. But once they have an app, I'll let her know. Just like I'll let you know.
Which, like, they did send me the news article saying the app for Amazon Fire and Roku is coming. They're working on it.
In another cruel twist of fate, there's I always subscribe to these coupons and deals and stuff. And there was one today that said that they're offering new members for the first year that you pay. It's only $12 a month instead of $15.
I know. I saw that. It's till September 25th.
But you get it for a full year. But yes. Okay. So hopefully the app comes out by then. But
So I'm kind of waiting. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try and get through this and let's see what happens as September 25th gets closer. And maybe I'll grab it for $12 a month.
Yeah.
Because I can't subscribe to it, though, and watch it through Hulu.
No.
I have to subscribe to it through Hulu.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
It's fucking stupid.
Yep.
Because they had HBO Now and HBO Go apps on Roku before. It's horseshit to me.
It is.
It's just horseshit.
Yep. I agree completely.
Because if they did have a Roku app, I may have pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of compelling stuff on there.
Yep.
Like I said, I just watched the second episode of The Vow, and next week I'll talk about the second and third. But again, I won't get into too much detail.
All right. Well, I guess that's the show then.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Thanks.
Talk to you later.